Thank you for this morning. We honor you. We acknowledge your presence. We love you, God. This Holy Communion is for us to remember of your love. Let every one of us to experience the love of God in our heart. We thank you, Father. I pray that you minister to each one of us so we experience your love every day of our life, because your love is more valuable than anything in this world. We thank you, Lord. We exalt your name, we adore your name, and we worship you, we love you, God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning, I want to share about the love of God. As I wait until all sit down, as some of you know, my brother-in-law passed away at the on the 8th of October. When I was in Jakarta, there were many of his relatives and his friend who visited my sister. And as we sat on one dining table, a lady said, "Death is unpredictable." Yes, I agree, that's right. Death is unpredictable. And then she continues, "God is like a thief. He comes and takes one's life." So if we do not listen carefully and pay very much attention, it sounds like God is sovereign. But I did not like how she used the term thief. Our God is not a thief. He is a loving God. So turn with me to John 3:16. So I hope every Christian can memorize this verse. This is our basic verse. "For God so loved the world that For God has loved for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." In the Bible, we learn that our God expresses and demonstrates his emotion. He can be angry. He is a jealous God. He feels compassion, and he experiences grief also. So there is a lot in the Bible about God's emotion. But the important thing is, he is God of love. So he expressed his love continuously, not just with words, but with action. He doesn't just tell us how much he loves us, but he proves with his action, his sacrifice, and his generosity. When we celebrate Christmas, Christmas is the proof of God's love and God's generosity. Giving is an expression of love, because we might be able to give without love, because we were taught by our parents, by our teacher, by our community. So we can give without love, but we cannot love without giving. That is important. We cannot love without giving. Generosity is the result of love. If we look at the word "so," "for God so loved the world," that means it is a deep, intense passion, intense feeling. And he was willing to do anything to express his love for us. Romans 3, chapter 3, 10-23, We were all born with sinful nature. So on the cross, Jesus took our sin. So he became sin before God. And we became righteous before God. That is a great exchange. So God sent his only son to die on the cross for us so that we could live and spend eternity with him, with our God. Jesus' crucifixion was God's action to show us how much we are loved by God. The cross is not just a jewelry, but a visual reminder of God's love for us. We are loved by God. When I share to unbeliever, I always tell them, that is not about changing your religion. That is about you receive the salvation from our Lord Jesus. So Christianity is not about changing religion, but receive our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So Paul wrote about the love of God. Ephesians chapter 3, 16 to 19, I read from the NIV is better. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Paul prayed that Paul prayed that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. 17. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And again, Paul said, I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. 19, the last one. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So, my brother and sister in Christ, as Christian, we always pray for urgent thing in life, for our finance, for our relationship, for our marriage, for our family, for our problem. That's what we use to pray. But Paul teaches us to pray so that we would understand and experience God's love in our life. God's love is very important in our life. In spite of any situation or problem in our life, we need to grasp how wide, how long, how deep, and how high is the love of Christ. This is our part, our effort to know, to understand God's love. We have to pursue it every day to get to know God's love. And then he also, Paul said, he prayed that we will be filled with the love of God to the measure of the fullness of God. Amen. There is a measure. So every one of us, we have different measure of love, of God's love in our heart. So we have pursue. If we pursue more, we got more God's love in our hearts. This is for the health of our soul. 2 years ago, when I went to Manila, and I heard the teaching of Prophet Jim Lufu, and he said he prayed nothing. Every day he only asked God, God, fill me with your heart so I know you more deeply and widely every day. So I learn from him and I practice in my life. I pray nothing except fill me with your love. Fill me, God. Refill yourself in me. Share your thought with me so I understand your love. And I will be filled with the fullness of God's love in my heart. Sometimes we think Christianity is about obedience, living a holy life, saying no to a lot of things we would like secretly to do. The journey of following Jesus, in the journey of following Jesus, love is very important. Until we understand how much God loves us, we won't let God lead us or help us. And we won't draw near to him. I repeat again. Until we understand how much God loves us, we won't let God lead us or help us. And we won't draw near to him. Love is the force that brought God to earth. And it also must be the force that brings us to God. Some of us are full of bitterness. So our life is led by bitterness. Some of us full of anger. So we are led by anger. Some of us are full of ourselves. We think always of ourselves, and we are led by selfishness. The solution is let God fill us with the awareness of his presence and his love. Many Christians have had knowledge about God's love. They agree with God's love. God sent his only son to die on the cross for us. That is all about head knowledge, but they haven't met him as their friend. Knowledge about God's love don't change our life. Until we experience his presence, his awareness, his care for us on a personal level, we will remain unchanged, even though we call ourselves as a Christian. So Mahatma Gandhi once said, "I like your Christ, but I don't like Christian because Christians are not like Christ." It's very sad, this statement. He liked Christ, but he didn't like Christian because a lot of Christians, we have had knowledge about Christ, but we haven't experience God's love in our life. There is a huge difference between knowing about something and experience it. I have heard about safaris. I have seen movie about safari in Africa. I love to visit safaris. Until 3 years ago, when I with my husband visited Cape Town, I was so excited. I told him that I won't go anywhere except safari. Even though the safari in Cape Town is far smaller than the one in Johannesburg, when I saw lion lying beside our cart and elephant walking across the street behind our cart, that was very excited moment. It's incredible, indescribable experience. I was so happy. I also mixed emotion. I worry and I have fear because there are wild animals. So is the love of God. We have to experience the love of God. When tough time comes, our head knowledge about God is not enough. That's right. And it will not help us to conquer our problem or cannot help us to trust God. Psalm 91 verse 15 says, when we call, he will answer. That is the promise of God. How do I experience God's love? Our question is, how do I experience God's love? Romans 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says, as hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There are two sentences. It's very confusing. The first one is God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit. And the second sentence is who has been given to us. The one is like a present poured out into our heart, and the last one is a past tense. It says has been given to us. So the second one means has been given to us, that is once for all. On our conversion, when we were born again, when we proclaimed that Jesus is our Savior, the Holy Spirit has been given to us once for all. But the second thing is the first sentence has been poured into our heart. That means this process is ongoing. It keeps happening in our life. As long as we live, the Holy Spirit can be poured into our heart continuously. So this one, this is what Paul means in Ephesians 3:18 and 19. We have to grasp how wide, how long, how deep, and how high the love of God. And we have to be filled with the love of God to the fullness of God. So the next question then we ask, how do we pursue the fullness of the experience of the love of God poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit? How do we pursue it? The experience is not like hypnosis or electric shock or drug-induced hallucination. Rather, it is meditated through knowledge, through the Word of God. Every Christian knows the love of God, not just an argument or knowledge, but as an experience. This is a true meaning of a Christian. So this morning, when we have had knowledge about God, but we haven't experienced the love of God, let we pray and ask God to fill our heart with the love of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Again, Paul say to the Thessalonians, may the Lord direct your heart into the love of God, into the steadfastness of Christ. Paul is praying that God will give our heart the love of God that is more attractive, satisfying, and valuable than everything else in this world. So, we feel the love of God, we can join the worship, we can go join the prayer meeting, we can study the Bible in our life group, we study the Bible in our devotional life, then we think about God, we listen to God, talk to other people about God's love, open our heart to Him, and live your life with Him. So in this way, we will experience the love of God. The closer you are with God, the more you learn about Him. The more you learn about Him, the more you love Him. The same things happen in our human relationship. Love always means learning about the other person. It is not head knowledge, but it is heart knowledge. We don't just learn facts about God, but we must experience His love in our life. Sometimes people think if they have experienced God once, that's enough. And when they start believing, they know all about God, their relationship with God will not progress. That's why we heard a lot of Christians who share about God's love in the past. In the past, I experienced God. In the past, I shared the gospel. In the past, I discipled someone. What about now? That is our question. So I pray that every one of us now experience the love of God. True love never stops learning, because we can never know about everything about another person. Relationship is an ongoing process to know someone in marriage, in friendship. So is our relationship with God. God expressed his love and we experience it. And now we get to share with others. This is evangelism. It's not hard, it's simple. We have to experience God's love, overflow our heart, like Jesse said, overflow our heart with the love of God, so we can share the good news to other people. Once we know Jesus, when we have experienced the expression of his love, we are full of good news. So we can share to others, Jesus is alive. Jesus set us free. Jesus healed your diseases. Jesus saved us. He is near. He never leave or forsakes us. So whoever want to receive Jesus, he will more than willing to receive us. Maybe we don't see God because we are distracted by the pressure and the pleasure of life. Whether pressure or pleasure of this life can distract us from the love of God. Our culture shouts to us very loudly. So we cannot listen to God. We cannot think about God anymore because of our culture. For some people, they don't see God because of painful and difficult circumstances that overwhelm their heart. Sometimes when we got a lot of problem, we can't see God because our heart is full of bitterness, of hurt, of pain. Maybe we believe he was close to us in the past, but life is suddenly contradictory and we have trouble believing God is here and for us. This is what I remain my sister like every night or every two nights to call her, to remind her that Jesus is there. Go through the difficult situation with her. She is not alone. So we have an example from John chapter 20, verse 11 to 18. I'm not going to read. This verse is too long. You can read at home. John chapter 20, verse 11 to 18. When Jesus was crucified, his disciples were very disappointed because they thought Jesus was going to rule and reign in their lifetime. Many of them expected him to be a political ruler, a deliverer who would free them from the Roman Empire, because at that time the Israelites was oppressed by the Roman, and they think Jesus would deliver them and be a king for them. But when they saw that Jesus died on the cross, their dream were crushed and their hearts were broken. Today, 2 days after Jesus died and was buried, Mary Magdalene went to his tomb to pay respect. She was shocked because the tomb was empty. Peter and John show up next, and they left confused because they couldn't find Jesus' body anywhere. Mary stayed at the tomb after the other has gone. Earlier in her life, Jesus cast 7 demons out of Mary's life. 7 demons. You can imagine? This indicates that Mary's life was pretty messed up before. However, her life transformed as she followed Jesus. She was one of the few people who stayed at with Jesus at the cross in his dying moment. She loved him. She trusted him like all Jesus' disciples. When Mary couldn't find Jesus' body, she must have felt despair and very confused. My brother and sister in Christ, Mary represents many, many of us. We need God. We know God is real. We know Jesus loves us. But then we feel abandoned by God, like Mary, because she couldn't find Jesus' body. Mary began to weep in hopelessness and confusion. Mary couldn't find Jesus in her pain and heartache. That always happened to us. In our heartache, in our pain, we couldn't see Jesus. We couldn't recognize Jesus. And she thought when he saw a man stand beside her, he thought he was a gardener. And Mary talked to this person, "Sir, if you have taken him away, please tell me where have you put him, because I want to go and get him." He thought Jesus was a gardener. So many of us, we experienced this. In our pain, in our difficult time, we couldn't see that Jesus is with us. Mary was looking for Jesus, but she couldn't find him. She couldn't see him. Sometime in our prayer life, we ask Jesus, "Jesus, where are you? Jesus, I can't see you. I can't feel you. Where are you? Do you care about what I am going through?" This is our question. But suddenly, Mary heard a voice called Mary. When he heard this voice, he recognized Jesus was not a gardener. He was a savior. Mary realized when she felt alone, Jesus was with her. When she felt no one saw her needs, Jesus was standing beside her, watching and caring over her. Jesus knows everything about you and me. He loves you and me, and he has planned for you and me. He is watching over you and me. This is what I share with the lady who said that Jesus is a thief. Because we did not know Jesus. We don't want to know about Jesus. So we cannot know his plan in our life. He is beside us. He is in us. In every situation we're facing, he is with us. He promised he never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus said to Mary, "Go find my brothers and tell them." In other words, Jesus said to Mary, "Mary, you have seen me. You have experienced my love. Your heart is full of my love. And now let the other people, and now let the love of God spill out to other people." Mary experienced his love and she shared it. She is the first witness of the gospel. She is the first woman evangelist in the history. Mary told the other disciple that she had seen the Lord. We just need God. God's love to overflow in our heart to share the good news to others. So my conclusion in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. The experience of the love of God is poured out through the Holy Spirit, and it is a supernatural thing. So we have to experience it. This experience is given by the Holy Spirit when we read, study the Bible, when we join the Christian community, join the life group to study about God's love, and then we share about God's love in our life. That is the love of God. There are no Christians who merely believe by argument and not by experience. Again, I repeat, there are no such Christians who merely believe by argument or not by experience. This experience is vary from person to person, but it can be pursued to the fullness of the measure of God. So, when I witness my brother's passing, at the end of our life, the only thing remains in us is our relationship with our Creator. Nothing we can take away from the Word. We come to this Word naked, and we will leave this Word with nothing, only the love of God, because we're going back to our Creator. Unless we experience God's love in our life, we won't change. Like Mahatma Gandhi said about Christian, a lot of Christians, they don't change because they don't encounter God's life, God's love in their life. Unless we experience God's love, we won't be able to trust God in tough times. Unless we experience God's love, we can feel compassion. We can feel other people's hurt or pain. We don't want to know because we never experience God's love in our life. Unless we experience God's love, we cannot care for other people's needs. We always think about ourselves. Unless we experience God's love in our life. Unless we experience God's love, we cannot tell others about the good news that Jesus is Savior, that Jesus is alive, Jesus set us free, Jesus forgive our sin. So again, I pray that every one of us, we can encounter God's love in our life. So we will be changed by the Holy Spirit and to share the good news to others. God bless you.
George, can I please invite you all to stand?
You are my life and my dream. are all blessed.
Sebelum kita tutup dengan doa, saya ambil cuplikan dari Henry Nouwen, seorang penulis yang saya paling suka.
Before we close our prayer, I'm gonna take something from Henry Nouwen, one of the most favorite writer.
Dia menuliskan apa yang membuat kita menjadi manusia.
He write what makes us human.
Bukanlah otak kita.
It's not our brains.
Tapi hati kita.
But our hearts.
Bukan kemampuan kita berpikir.
It's not our ability to think.
Tetapi kemampuan kita mengasihi.
But our ability to love.
Saudara, ipar saya adalah orang yang paling saya benci di dunia ini.
Brothers and sisters, my brother-in-law is one of the most hated person.
Tidak pernah orang yang saya pernah benci kecuali dia.
Never one I hated so much than him.
Dan waktu kami masih muda, waktu kami memilih pindah ke Australia, dia menghina saya karena saya menjadi hamba Tuhan.
When we were young and when we decided to go to Australia, he insulted us
karena
because
dia
he wanted to be a servant of God.
Kalau kita udah sekolah kuliah, hidup kita harus kaya.
Because he thinks after university, after our education, he thinks that we should be wealthy.
Saya pernah mendengar dia menghina satu hamba Tuhan kalau diajak makan, makannya banyak.
I've heard once he told me that there's a servant of God that every time we invite him for a meal, he would eat
banyak hal-hal yang kurang baik yang dia ucapkan tentang hamba Tuhan.
There's a lot of things, bad things that he said about
tapi
servant of God.
Tapi waktu berjalan, saudara.
But time passes on.
Setelah satu kali dia berubah.
After that he changed.
Dia percaya Tuhan Yesus.
He believed in Jesus.
Dan Tuhan merubah hidup saya.
And God changed my life.
Saudara, waktu dia mati, waktu dia meninggal.
Ladies and gentlemen, when he died,
Tuhan penuhi hati saya dengan kasih.
The Lord fills my heart with love.
Tuhan bilang, dia memilih untuk menutup lembaran hidupnya dengan kamu.
God says he choose to close his chapter of life with you.
Saudara, sampai hari ini kadang-kadang saya kehilangan dia.
Until now I miss him.
Karena saya tahu orang yang pernah saya benci.
Because I know once I hated him.
Tapi kalau saudara sudah menemukan kasih Tuhan.
But once you found the love of God.
Saudara pasti bisa mengasihi orang itu.
You will be able to love this person.
Dan Tuhan izinkan dia mati pada waktu saya bersama istri dengan dia.
And God took his life when we were together with him.
Bukan bersama dengan anak-anaknya.
Not with his children.
Oleh sebab itu Henry Nouwen katakan, kalau saudara punya bisa mengasihi seseorang, Anda akan menjadi manusia yang utuh.
That's why Henry Nouwen says, only when you can love someone, that's when you become a whole.
Kalau Anda tinggalkan ruangan ini,
when you leave this room,
jangan ada bitterness sama orang lain.
Don't have bitterness for other people.
Kalau Anda pernah luka dengan orang tuamu,
if you have been hurt by your parents,
kalau teman-temanmu pernah mengkhianati engkau,
if your friends once betrayed you,
kasihi mereka,
love them,
ampuni mereka,
forgive them.
Mana tahu pada waktu mereka mau tutup hidup mereka, Anda ada di situ.
Because we don't know, maybe when they about to close their chapter of life, we will be there.
Mari kita pursue God's love.
Let's us pursue God's love.
Angkat tanganmu semuanya.
Raise your hands.
Bapa, terima kasih untuk kau mengingatkan kami tentang kasihmu.
Father, we thank you because you reminded us of your love.
Kalau kami tinggalkan tempat ini supaya kami bisa mengerti tentang kasih-Mu.
When we leave this place, let us understand your love.
Dan kemudian kami bisa mengalami kasih-Mu.
And we can experience your love.
Supaya kami bisa menjadi manusia yang seutuhnya.
So that we can be whole as human.
Supaya kami bisa menjadi murid Yesus.
So we can be the disciple of Jesus.
Kami bisa share kepada orang lain tentang kasih-Mu.
We can share to other people about your love.
Saudara yang kasih Tuhan, biarlah hidupmu penuh dengan kasih-Nya.
Brothers and sisters, let your love be filled with his love.
Dia pagari hidupmu dengan kasih setia dan kemurahan-Nya.
He will fill your love with his mercy and grace.
Dia sinari engkau dengan wajah-Nya.
He shines his face upon you.
Dan dia tambahkan kasih anugerah-Nya pagi, siang, dan malam.
And he will fill you with his mercy and grace all your days of your life.
Kau terima berkat dari Allah Bapa, Putra, Roh Kudus demi nama Yesus.
Receive his blessing in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Have a great Sunday.
Have a great Sunday.
God bless you.
God bless you.